Galatians chapter 3, verse 14. Christ redeemed us in order that in Christ Jesus the blessing of Abraham might come to the Gentiles, so that we might receive the promise of the Spirit through faith. Galatians 3, 14. Christ redeemed us in order that in Christ Jesus the blessing of Abraham might come to the Gentiles, so that we might receive the promise of the Spirit through faith. Galatians 3:14. Proverbs chapter 3, verse 13. How blessed is the man who finds wisdom and the man who gains understanding. Proverbs 3:13. How blessed is the man who finds wisdom and the man who gains understanding. Proverbs 3:13. Jeremiah chapter 9, verse 23. Do not let a wise man boast of his wisdom, and do not let the mighty man boast of his might, and do not let a rich man boast of his riches. Jeremiah 9:23. Do not let a wise man boast of his wisdom, do not let the mighty man boast of his might, and do not let a rich man boast of his riches. Jeremiah 9:23. Proverbs chapter 8, verse 35. For he who finds me finds life and obtains favor from the Lord. Proverbs 8:35. For he who finds me finds life and obtains favor from the Lord. Proverbs 8:35. Would you turn in your Bibles, please, to the book of Hebrews, chapter 5, verses 13 and 14. Hebrews chapter 5, verses 13 and 14. All of you are aware of the fact that when we come to this place, we come to turn our attention away from the distractions of the world and to focus our minds upon the eternal Word of God. There's no other reason for us being here today as believers in the Lord Jesus Christ than for us to have a determination in our hearts and lives to be the recipient of the thinking, the mind of the Lord Jesus Christ. The longer I live, the more I study, the more I realize how wonderful it is to experience God's magnificent grace, to become more acquainted with that grace. And over a period of weeks and months and years, we've had the privilege of studying, and we, if the Lord willing, we will live a few more weeks or months or years. And the purpose for our being here is to fulfill God's plan, because our life on the earth is not an accident. We're here because God has placed us here, and we're here at this particular time because God has a plan and a purpose for our lives individually. All of us are aware of that. The study of God's Word makes it possible for us to be able to see from a vertical, divine viewpoint. And my goal for myself and for you is for us to be able to advance in the Spirit of God and the Word of God, that we will be more intelligent in relationship to the plan of God for our individual lives. In the light of that, we all know that we study God's Word while we're cleansed of sin and filled with the Spirit, which simply means that this is not something unusual or odd or strange. The Scripture says, be not drunk with wine where it is excess, but be ye filled with the Holy Spirit. Being filled with the Holy Spirit doesn't make us abnormal. It makes us normal. It makes us be in a position where we can advance spiritually. And that's the reason why we pray and spend a few moments to be sure that our hearts are right with God. May we pray together, please. Father, we realize again today how magnificent the Word of God is, and how wonderful it is for us to grow in grace and knowledge of our Savior Jesus Christ. We thank you for the opportunity to study these verses today. We realize that we're to comprehend the word of righteousness. And so we pray that in these moments we're studying, will be able to learn, advance, grow, so that we can be more effective believers. Thank you for your matchless grace. In Jesus' name, amen. Hebrews chapter 5, 13 and 14. The subject for today is comprehending the word of righteousness. Comprehending the word of righteousness. It seems like that I need to say that a number of times for it to really become real to us. Comprehending the word of righteousness. In your bulletin today, you have an insert. That insert is entitled Storage of Divine Assets. Would you look at it for a few moments? Storage of Divine Assets. I do not want to insult your intelligence because I'm aware of the fact that you can read just as well as anyone. But I feel like that these are so important. These points are so important to us that we need to look at it for just a few moments. Number one, when a person studies the Word of God consistently, a biblical foundation is laid. I will not take the time to read all the verses, but please look these verses up in the future. When a person studies the Word of God consistently, a biblical foundation is laid. Number two, basic biblical concepts are necessary before an enlarged capacity for advanced doctrines can be attained. In other words, what this is saying is that if we're growing and advancing on a day-by-day basis, then we will begin to pick up the doctrines of the Word of God that are more simple for us. And then as we advance over a period of weeks and months and years, we're able to eat more spiritual food that is solid food. We'll study about that. Number three, biblical information establishes a new awareness of God's design for my life. You'll notice that this number three is very personal. Biblical information establishes a new awareness of God's design for my life. Have you ever wondered why God let you be alive at this particular point of time in history? You perhaps have wondered why God put you in the family that He did, that He's allowed you to live here in Baytown at this particular time or in this area. Number four, thinking God's thoughts can only become a reality when the soul is saturated with biblical information. Thinking God's thoughts can only become a reality when the soul is saturated with biblical information. There will be vertical viewpoint rather than horizontal viewpoint. This will make possible the application of truth to the experiences of life. Most of us in recent days have gone through some very unusual experiences. Some of you have been startled and moved by the fact of the storm and the results of that storm. We wonder sometimes why things happened to us and didn't happen to someone else. But the Bible says that it rains on the just and the unjust. There will be vertical viewpoint rather than horizontal viewpoint. This will make possible the application of truth to the experiences of life. Number five, truth stored in the mentality of the soul will cause a person to be properly related to God, to self, and to others. All of you are able to see how fantastically great these points are. Number six, the believer's prayer life will become effective when God's word permeates the soul. Number seven, effective witnessing will also result when truth saturates the soul. Number eight, the storage capacity will also determine true happiness for love, life, and inner joy. I cannot tell you how important all these points are. They're very, very powerful. Number nine, God's word stored will give sensitivity and even sensitivity to error. Number 10, God's grace is appreciated more, and a believer is more in love with the Lord Jesus Christ when the mind of Christ is believed and accept it. Immediately you're able to see that there are some magnificent thoughts found right here in these points that have been given to you today. On the scripture, on the screen, you see this scripture, Hebrews 5:13. If you look in the bulletin, you will see on the back of the bulletin the translation from the German. Hebrews 5:13, for everyone who still enjoys milk is a real speech illiterate. I thought that was an unusual presentation from the German language, from the German Bible. For everyone who still enjoys milk is a real speech illiterate, for he is a minor. I thought you ought to see that over and over again. Don't let that verse slip you. And then Hebrews 5:14. The solid food, however, is for adult believers who have practiced as a result of a custom sensed to distinguish the good as well as the wicked. While we're studying this passage today, these two passages, you'll be able to see how fantastic this really, really is. On the screen now and on the back of your bulletin, you're following along, Hebrews 5:13. For everyone partaking of milk is unskillful in the word of righteousness. You can see where we got our topic, message title for today, Comprehending the Word of Righteousness. If you'll notice, you will see that the very beginning of this verse in the Greek language, we have what is known as a post-positive conjunctive particle, gar, G-A-R. And then it says, for everyone partaking of milk. If you'll notice that word milk, it is G-A-L-A-K-T-O-S. For everyone partaking of milk is unskillful. What I did, I looked up that word to find out what all could be translated here. And I put down unacquainted with, unaccompanied with, not familiar with. This is an emphasis upon a person who is not advanced. Unskillful would be an immature believer. So those are words that describe, for everyone partaking of milk is unskillful, immature in the word of righteousness. And then it says, for a baby he is. It's amazing to me when I look at this word, and you've seen it over these last weeks, that this word baby is used time and time and time again. It is the word napios. It actually means being a tiny little baby on a milk bottle. When I look at this passage of Scripture, I want you to see that the very emphasis here is that for the believer, you and I are to get to a point where we're able to take more difficult and heavy spiritual doctrines. For everyone partaking of milk, everyone who's on the spiritual bottle is actually unskillful in the word of righteousness, for he is a baby. When I look at this, I discover something. I discover that the little word gar there is a word used to explain what is meant by not being able to take in solid food. I notice that it says everyone, for everyone refers to anyone who has not advanced. When I look at this word partaking, I discover that it means to assimilate, to partake. This is emphasizing the person who is not advanced, the immature believer. I put down in my notes, I'm going to call this person a low roader. The low roader does not care for solid food. He does not like to think. He does not care for advanced studies of God's Word. He's not interested in taking possession of his possession. I thought that was a unique way to say it. God has given us a magnificent possession, and so many people today are not willing to take possession of their possession. When I look at this word partaking, I discover that it is a participle in the original language, which is an ascriptive participle, which describes a quality of characteristics that are manifested in the person who is not advanced, the low roader, Isn't that interesting? And then I notice that it says, everyone partaking of milk. The Greek word for milk is G-A-L-A. If you'll notice, it is G-A-L-A-K-T-O-S. Interesting enough. Is unskillful. When I look at this word unskillful, I discover that it means stupid. I hesitate to even use that word. And then I look at my notes and I see another word that is described here, and it's the word ignorant. And I hesitate to even do that from this pulpit, which is so dignified, for me to use words like stupid and ignorant. But it says unskillful in the word of righteousness. The word of righteousness is beautiful because we've analyzed this in the past. It is the Greek word dikaios, or dikaiosune. And it means not just right, but it means to be noble. People can be right and have no nobility. But this means being right and have nobility. So I've written myself a little note. Prosperity of soul has its own righteousness, which means to be right and noble and not self-righteous. In other words, what this is saying is that this Greek word dikaiosune means divine righteousness. This means doing the right thing. It means making the right decisions in life without a desire to make a big splash on other individuals. This is being right and not being offensive. Did you notice what I just said? It's being right, but not being offensive. Have you ever been around someone who's giving you a lot of scriptures? And what they're doing, they're not only giving you scriptures, but they're somewhat offensive in the way that they're saying things. They're trying to put you down. They're trying to let you know that they have arrived and you have not. Dikaiosune is soul righteousness. The Christian must understand that when you and I are the recipients of this kind of righteousness, we're not going to be maligning others. We're not going to be spending time trying to hurt other individuals. We're not going to try to destroy other individuals. We're not going to be trying to put other people down. If everyone in this auditorium, everyone who claims the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, if everyone followed this emphatic admonition of being righteous, I put in my notes, if everyone got to the point all at one time of fulfilling what I've just said by the word dikaiosune, we would probably be finding ourselves in the millennium. No belittling, no attitude sins, no maligning, no gossiping, no ugliness, no bitterness. It would just be an atmosphere of total relaxation and love. I trust you're able to see where I'm driving this whole message to today. Comprehending the word of righteousness. For everyone partaking of milk, the scripture says, is not advanced, is ignorant of the word of righteousness, because that person is immature, a baby. All of us here today are familiar with babies. I've written myself a special note to share with you. I would like for you to hear this very carefully. A baby is different than a babe in our modern way of expressing things. I don't want you to miss this because it's very important to see. When I see little babies all clean and well-dressed and held by a proud mother, I want you to know that that baby is wonderful. But a baby usually is oftentimes ugly. They look bad, they smell bad, and they need a lot of attention. Have you ever seen a baby like that? Most of you have. I'm trying to say to you that a babe is different than a baby in modern terminology. A babe is beautiful, looks good, smells good, and also needs a lot of attention. If you're following me carefully, you're beginning to see that I'm talking about two different things. I'm talking about a babe, and I'm talking about a baby. Some years ago, one of our members had a place of business called the Nautilus. For some of you, that's something maybe you haven't heard of, but it was years ago. And I went to that. Joyce and I went to Nautilus. We worked out there. It's a health center. One day, I overheard two young men in conversation. One said, "I went to this place the other night and saw some beautiful chicks." Well, I perked up my ear because I wanted to hear what else they were going to say. When I thought about this and wrote this down, here's what I said. "Well, my farm mind flashed back to the days when we ordered through the mail little chicks." So I heard that guy say a chick, and I felt like he was not talking about the same kind of chicks with which I was familiar. We ordered these chicks and they came through the mail. It was a box about a 2x3. It was about 7 inches high. It was divided into four compartments, and there was a dozen little chicks in each one of those four departments. That fella was not talking about the same kind of chicks. The word here is not chick, it's not babe. It is the word napios, which means a baby. A baby who has not advanced, who has not grown up in his or her soul. Spiritually immature. A person immature does not take responsibility for his or her own decisions. I want you to hear this. This is very potent for our day. The person who is immature does not take responsibility for his own decisions. A person immature does not respect the rights, the privacy, and property of others. What is amazing to me is that you turn on the television today and you'll be able to hear so much in relationship to people who have no respect. As a person receives the Word of God over a period of time, it not only overcomes spiritual immaturity, but human immaturity. God's plan is for people to grow up in the human realm and also in the spiritual realm. I'm of the opinion that in our church over the last 42 years, we've seen little children come along, be placed in our classes where qualified teachers have taught them the Word of God. And we've watched, and it's been amazing to us to see, that these little ones grew up. Years went by. They went through the various ages of childhood and in the junior department, in the young adult department. They grew up. They came into here, into this auditorium, and they advanced over a period of time, went off to college, got married, and we watched many of these over the years as they have been outstanding individuals. They've not only grown up spiritually, but they've grown up in the human realm. When people are humanly immature, they have a hard time listening. They have a hard time tuning in. They have a hard time concentrating. Well, I'm checking you out today because I'm aware of the fact that some of you are having a hard time thinking. Some of you are having a hard time tuning in, having a hard time really listening to every word that's being proclaimed here. All I'm trying to say is when people are humanly immature, they have a hard time listening. They have a hard time tuning in. They have a hard time concentrating. They have to be amused. They have to be entertained. They can only listen for a few moments. 45 minutes of spiritual food just about drives them crazy. Food intake to a person with concentration ability is outstanding. A person who really tunes in, filled with the Holy Spirit, concentrating, will receive truth rapidly. My goal is for people to advance rapidly. If you are a baby now, don't stay that way. Continue to receive the impartation and dissemination of the Word of God and make your way through these various stages of Christian growth so that you can be able to see most things from a vertical divine viewpoint rather than from a human viewpoint. Look at it again. For everyone partaking of milk, unskillful in the word of righteousness, because that person is a tiny little napios baby. Time goes by. I'm having fun. But I promised myself that I would study with you two verses. So now, if you will, look at the next verse. Solid food is for the mature. Those who have the ability to make decisions based upon their insight, determining, having the ability to have distinction between what is good and what is evil. You may have seen this, maybe you have not. Some of you Greek students have been able to see that right here we have a word that we get our English word gymnasium from. It's the word gym, gymnasium. Solid food is for the advanced believer. Those who have the ability to make decisions, right kind of decisions, based on insight, determining, seeing the difference between what is really good and what is not good. Now, I have to let you know that solid food is for the mature. I have a few minutes, and I want to spell out some things that I think are interesting. The first thing is, these verses tell me what spirituality is. Christianity is vague in the minds of unbelievers. Spirituality is vague in the minds of many believers. I wish you were taking notes because I'd like for you to carry this home with you. Christianity is vague in the minds of unbelievers. There are many people out there who are unsaved, lost, on their way to a place of eternal destruction, and they don't seem to care at all about it. They have no thinking in relationship to eternity. What's going to happen after they breathe their last breath, the heart beats the last time? They're not even thinking about it. So Christianity is vague in the minds of those individuals. Spirituality, though, is also vague in the minds of many believers. Vague. Spirituality is open to all believers, just as salvation is open to all humanity. John 3:16 says, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever would believe would have everlasting life." What John 3:16, and all of us can quote it, most of us are aware of the fact that that tells us how God loves the world, everyone. Spirituality is open to all believers just as salvation is open to all unbelievers. Spirituality is just as available as is salvation. You and I must be aware of the fact that you and I can grow up or we can stay babies. It's been made available to us. We've got to decide what we're going to do with it. Are we going to accept God's plan of having the thinking of Jesus Christ and grow and advance while we're here on the earth? We only have a few more years at the longest. Christianity is a relationship with God in Christ. Spirituality is a relationship with God, the Holy Spirit. This is shocking to people because they never take the time to think it through. Christianity is a relationship with God in Christ. Spirituality is a relationship with God, the Holy Spirit. You and I, as believers, we're believers not because we're religious, not because of something we've done, not because of joining something, not because we've been emotional or have had emotional experiences, but we're Christians, we're believers, because we, by faith, have received Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. Some of you are saying to me today, just quietly in your mind, "Preacher, I've heard this many times. I know what you're talking about." Yes, that's right. John 1:12 says, "But as many as received Him, Christ, to them gave He the authority to become the sons of God." In recent days, words have come out and seem to just grab me and shake me. And one of the expressions that has come to me lately is "Son of God." Sons of God. And it's made me realize, though I do not find myself in any way worthy of this, or you worthy of this, because we've been born again, we are sons of God. Can you realize how great that is? I'll talk about it maybe in a few weeks. "But as many as received Him, to them gave He the authority to become sons of God, even to them that believe on His name." Now I have a few minutes that's so important. I'm taking the next 10 minutes to talk about sin. Now if you want to leave now, you just feel free to do so. But I'm using the letters sin in a different way. I'm not talking about sin. I'm using the letters S-I-N. And using this terminology, S stands for spirituality, I stands for is, and N stands for not. My sin today, please don't get so carried away that you're thinking I'm talking about sin. I'm talking, when I use those letters, I'm talking about spirituality is not. What spirituality is not? Is spirituality supernatural or superficial? Is our spirituality supernatural or superficial? Each one of us has to answer that. First, number one, spirituality is not the result of what you do. Witnessing, praying, giving, dedication, all of these things fit in their category. But when we look at this, this is the cart before the horse. If you got that mental picture, it's a cart before the horse. Sin, then, spirituality, is not the result of what you do. If you're witnessing, that's what we ought to do. Giving, we ought to give. Praying, we ought to pray. Be dedicated, we ought to be dedicated. But those things will not spell out spirituality. Spirituality is not imitating some outstanding believer. Sometimes we look at individuals and we say, oh, I wish I could be as spiritual as that person. And you draw that conclusion by what you hear and what you see. Sometimes it's by the way they dress, and sometimes it's the way they talk. And you draw the conclusion, oh, that's a wonderful spiritual person. I would love to be like that person. We're not to try to be like anyone other than the Lord Jesus Christ. Sin, spirituality is not a series of forbidden activities. Please understand here, there are many activities in life that are sinful. Many things in life are evil. But what I don't do doesn't spell spirituality for me. The Christian way of life is a supernatural way of life, which demands a supernatural way of executing it. What does it take to be a spiritual person? The filling of the Holy Spirit, walking in the Spirit, spiritual food residing in the soul, saturation with the Word of God. These are letters we've used through the years to explain to you what God wants us to do in our relationship to Jesus Christ from the standpoint of spirituality. Spirituality is the filling of the Holy Spirit, walking in the Spirit, spiritual food residing in the soul, saturation with the Word of God. Spirituality is not the result of comparing my more refined and respectable sins to your terrible, awful sins. Are you able to see that? I don't live like you do. You do this and you do that. You're a sinner. I don't do those things. Therefore, I'm okay. I'm right with God. Spirituality is not the result of comparing your more refined and respectable sins to someone else's terrible and awful sins. Number five. I still have a few minutes, folks. Stay with me. Spirituality is not asceticism. Let's look at that word. It's also known as monasticism. Or it means extreme self-denial. If you want to look up the word asceticism or monasticism, that's okay. I'm giving it to you now. It means extreme self-denial. I've given up food. I've given up, a man says, women. I've given up smiling. Therefore, I am spiritual. I know that's so much silly, but I'm trying to get over a point. Sin, spirituality is not asceticism, not monasticism. It's not extreme self-denial. Number six, spirituality is not ecstatics, emotionalism. Let me pause for a moment to tell you that emotions are wonderful. I am not degrading. I'm not putting down. I'm not minimizing true, wonderful emotions. I have this, and I believe you have it. There are so many things that stir me emotionally, and I appreciate that. When I'm studying God's Word all by myself, and I see certain things I've not seen before, and I become somewhat, emotional, because I'm excited. I'm thrilled. I see it. It seems like that the words just get bold and get larger and they get where they stand out and grab me, and I'm able to see something I had not seen before. Is there anything wrong with that? No. That's what I'm talking about. Emotions are wonderful and they have their proper place. We're all in a serious condition if we depend, however, on emotions for salvation or spirituality. Some people are of the opinion that if you don't cry when you're saved, you're not saved. Some people are of the opinion that if you're not somewhat emotionally disturbed or moved at the point of salvation, you're not saved. That is so foolish if you're depending upon emotions Emotions come and emotions go. I'm not minimizing emotion. I'm just telling you that salvation is not dependent upon how you feel. It's depending upon what God says. And God says, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and you shall be saved if you're emotional. Now, I added a few words there, didn't I? Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and you shall be saved. Let me go on. Spirituality is not ritualism. I go to church. I even go on Wednesday night. I tithe. So I am spiritual. Number 8. Spirituality is not self-crucifixion. There are many false interpretations of the 6th chapter of the book of Romans. Self does not crucify self. Ego never cancels ego. Very, very powerful for you to be able to see this. Self-crucifixion. There are people who do all kinds of things related to self-crucifixion. I've been around people who will take instruments that are sharp and cut their bodies. There are various things going on in this world where people have concluded that they get close to the Supreme Being by self-crucifixion in some way, self-mutilation. Self-crucifixion. Many people have a wrong interpretation of Romans chapter 6. Some of you before the day will be over, you'll go to Romans 6. Number 9. And the last one. Spirituality is not personal improvement. Look at this. In the 3rd chapter of the book of Romans, it says, even the righteousness of God through faith in Jesus Christ. If we want to know about how to be spiritual, we have to go to the Word of God. It says, even the righteousness of God through faith in Jesus Christ for all of those who believe, for there is no distinction. You and I must realize that God's righteousness and our sinfulness are very, very far apart. Here's God's righteousness on the one hand. Here we are as sinful individuals on the other hand. I need to remind you that God doesn't condescend, nor does He compromise. God does not condescend, nor does He compromise. God sees you as an individual. God sees me as an individual. And God's grace and God's love and God's righteousness, as He looks at you and me, He does not condescend, nor does He compromise. What He's saying is that you and I must make application through faith in Jesus Christ. Now, I have an entire message here, but I'm not going to go any farther. When we look at the life of the Apostle Paul, we discover that he had, in the past, offered many ideas in the development of this particular argument found in this passage, Romans 3:22. Because we start off that verse with a little word, even. Even the dikaiosune, even the righteousness of God, which is by faith of Jesus Christ. You're here today because in the providence of God, in the total plan of God, He saw fit to have you in this auditorium at this particular point of time. I do not believe that's an accident. I believe that's in the plan of God. So the individual here today, no matter who you are, you must think about the fact that God is concerned for you as an individual. You can draw somewhat of an invisible circle around yourself and say You know what? I'm of the opinion today that this message has come from God inside of this individual circle. It's come to me. And now my response is, am I going to do God's plan, do God's will, or am I going to reject it? I can go on like I've been going, or I can make a change. Because of the desire that I have in my heart, I want to have divine viewpoint. I want to see as God sees. So I'm determining in my heart not to be making a decision and make a splash to other people. I just want to make it individually and personally to God. I want to be, in the remaining days that I have on this earth, I want to be right with God. I want to do His will. I want to follow His plan. That's up to you. May we pray together, please. Father, we're thankful today for the challenge of Your Word. We can be either babies or we can advance. We have that decision to make every single day. Thank You for the challenge of Your Word. Thank You that You provided everything we need so that we can be victorious and triumphant and happy, radiant believers. And for the unsaved, we're thankful that salvation is available to anyone, because the Bible says, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and you shall be saved. It was Jesus who said, I'm the way. So there's no other way of salvation than through Jesus Christ. We pray for each person here today. You know our individual hearts, our needs. And for those who listen to this message, no matter where they are around this world, if they've never accepted Jesus Christ as Savior, Father, help them to see that they could do this right now and know without doubt that they have eternal life through Jesus Christ. Because the Bible says, he who has the Son has life. He who does not have the Son does not have life. That tells me, and I'm thankful, dear Lord, for that. It tells me without doubt that anyone who has Jesus Christ as Savior has eternal life. But if they don't have, they don't have eternal life. We pray that there will be many at this moment who will trust You. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.